Go Loud.
Obviously, there's details. Was it a 6-inch sub or a 12-inch sub? We're not sure.
Men never are.
Oh, it was 12 inches. I'm sure. Pretty sure. Do you know, it was the good old days where you could fake your own death. Do you remember those days? Like, I just feel like you can't do that anymore.
It's like... Callum, I think this is so specific to you that you've lost the audience.
No, I like to use hypothetical examples that sound like it's from me, but I think if people looked inside their hearts, they would recognize themselves.
Hello everybody and welcome to A Few Scoops. This is a special second episode from our live podcast at Electric Picnic.
Thank you so much for being here, every single one of you individually, which we now know by name. Welcome to A Few Scoops at Electric Picnic. It is my pleasure to introduce the person whose brainchild this was. This is Aoife Moore, all the way from Derry. My name's Colm O'Regan. I'm from Cork. We met exactly geographically halfway here at Stradbally to present A Few Scoops to a select few. I would describe this as a focus group or the very early stages of a far-right meeting who are objecting to something. That is not who these people are. These are good people, Aoife.
I was actually going to say welcome everyone to the special friends and family episode of A Few Scoops, because we're basically related to everybody.
We have had our after show party during the show. That's how we are doing it. We have disrupted the very concept of a show by selecting individually and knowing all the people and being blood relatives, and also people who are interested onlookers, we are hugely welcoming to you as well too. Welcome to A Few Scoops. Aoife, tell us, what is A Few Scoops and why we're here?
A Few Scoops, I decided that there needed to be something new in terms of news podcasts and news output, because in the last general election we had the lowest voter turnout since 1923, and I find that incredibly scary. When the world is getting more and more frightening, we shouldn't be turning off from voting in politics. We should be getting more involved in voting in politics. And I would like to say that I'm from the north, and you often say that we're tribal, but you continue to vote for the same two parties for the last 100 years, so that's also an issue.
I will take that one on the chin as the sole representative on the presenting panel of the Free State, the Mexicans who rule south of the border and who fucking abandoned you. Abandoned you when you needed us most. And Jack Lynch said we'd go across the border. Did we fuck?
Did you? Actually, 30 seconds if anybody was wondering when we would get to partition. It was 30 seconds. Yeah, so this is our second live episode of A Few Scoops. And I know you wouldn't believe it looking at this room, but the last one was packed, right? The reason is nothing to do with us. It's because we're on at the same time as Kneecap. So that's why, that's what I'm telling myself anyway.
I feel like our audience at this is an interesting dichotomy between people who have seen Kneecap so many times, they're slightly jaded of Kneecap, and people who wouldn't go to see Kneecap. So I'm hoping that we can be the middle ground. Which one are you, sir? Don't like the rain. Thank you very much. Okay.
We have the weather on our side. So each week we go through the biggest news stories of the week, both home and abroad. And I talk about them, and Callum is sometimes funny.
Sometimes funny, yeah.
So I actually don't think this one's that bad. Okay. I would like to hear what other people think of this.
We're going to go through five or six news stories, and we're going to bring on a special guest.
We have a special guest, and also we will go around the audience. We're not going to pick on you, but we like to hear your good news. So if you could think of some good news that you would like to share at the end, so start thinking about it now.
And also, we are aware of what a role as an audience you are playing in the whole thing. We will not ask too much of you. You've already done so much. So there's a fine line between audience at a podcast at a music festival opposite Kneecap and hostage situation. So we're aware of that. So don't worry, you're not trapped. But as you leave, you will get slagged.
Yeah, we will boo, yeah. We will ask why you're leaving. So just know. Okay, the first story this week is customers of the bin company Panda.
Yeah.
Right? The Panda Bin Company. There is a camera attached to the inside of the bin, right? And when they're tipping over your rubbish, it takes photos, right?
Yes.
And then they're sending photographs to customers with big red circles around bad recycling. So they're like, this isn't recyclable. This shouldn't be in a recycling bin. And they're shaming people into doing better recycling. And people are really up in arms about this. Now, they didn't say this in the article, but I feel like they have to be from South Dublin. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
Well, this is an interesting one where me and Aoife, sometimes we agree on things and it's predictable. Sometimes we disagree on things and it's predictable. But this is one where we agree on something and it's not quite predictable, because for me, a bin company observing your poor recycling habits is slightly erotic material. Like, I find something like that actually a turn on. It's the tiny corner of fascism,
yeah,
which also is environmental overreach.
As I don't think it's overreach.
I know, but it's the thing. This is why it's surprising. We both love this.
I love this.
Yeah.
We used to be a great country. We used to have shame. So what they're doing is they're shaming people. They send letters out to their houses and people said, oh, I feel like I live in an episode of Black Mirror. I don't want them taking photos of my rubbish. It's like, don't put the rubbish in the wrong bin. Actually, I'm so passionate about recycling that on, I think, me and my boyfriend's second or third date, I was in his house. Not the first date, because I'm a lady. And
yeah, because you waited. It's good.
Yeah,
good.
I'm not slack.
Good to really know.
And he had his recycling like in his kitchen or whatever. And it was only like our second date. And I like looked at his recycling and then looked at him and I was like, I know it's a bit early to say this, but them napkins don't go in the recycling.
Amazing. Segregation is your love language, despite your background. It's amazing. For me, accurately and carefully segregated rubbish is just something that we should do, like look after our children. Like, it's on the same level. Now, you said something interesting in our earlier comprehensive prep for this gig.
When we were drinking cans and eating chips.
Exactly, yeah. And Prosecco, which we'll get to. That you have not used the can return.
I don't use the bottle return. Don't use it. I recycle my bottles, but I don't use the machine. I'm not arsed. They're still getting recycled. I'm willing to forego the 15 cent.
And does this fall within all bin companies are bastards kind of thing?
No, or it's just laziness.
Okay.
I'm still recycling them. Yeah. I'm just not trailing up with a big load of bottles up to the little. I'm not doing it.
I feel that more people would use the can and bottle return scheme if the advertising more accurately reflected the personal struggle we all go through when recycling our bottles and cans in the machines, because so much of the assumption about it is based on, this is a good thing. Look at us all frolicking through meadows.
They do it on the continent. It's very European.
It's very European, but they don't recognize the pain we all go through, which is when you used to recycle the refuse from your drinking habit, you could do it in the corner of a car park in the middle of the night, and you would bring your bottles to the bottle bank machine that was next to the GAA pitch. And if you met somebody else who was also recycling a container load of that kind of stuff, you would both say, oh, big dinner party, was it? And then you could both like exchange glances and it was fine.
Yeah. I think we all learned a lot about ourselves in COVID. Couldn't even be like we had people over because you weren't allowed to have people. Just, oh, it's just, you know, the blinding trauma of being stuck in the house and alcoholism.
That prefigured it, because now there is something about recycling 15 empty cans of Tuborg on a Sunday morning in a Londis at midday. And it really makes it look like you drank them that morning while watching reruns of the golden years of WWF wrestling. Like, it has that
Callum
vibe.
I think this is so specific to you that you've lost the audience.
No, I like to use hypothetical examples that sound like it's from me, but I think if people looked inside their hearts, they would recognize themselves a little bit in it.
Okay, tally of hands in the audience. Do we think they've taken the photograph of the bins as overreach, yes or no? Overreach? Oh, this man, you seem very sure you're not under the photos. Oh, yeah, good point. Just get another bin company. Also, some of the stuff in the article, they were like, oh, what next? They're going to start finding us. I was like, they never said they were going to do that. You've just got yourself angry about a hypothetical, which just, also is most of our media at the moment.
Just for the guy in the audience, because we didn't have a mic on your answer, we will probably manipulate that to say whatever we wanted to say. That suits, what do we have? An agenda, don't we? Yeah, we haven't worked it out yet.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on. Have you heard the story about the man who attacked someone with a Subway sandwich?
I've been across it slightly, but I want to hear more about it.
In America, prosecutors were unable to persuade, this is quite heartwarming, but they were unable to persuade a grand jury to indict after a man threw a sandwich at a uniformed ICE agent who was wearing a bulletproof vest.
And just for people here or at home, the ICE agent is not something you put into the back of the fridge. What is an ICE agent?
They are kidnapping brown people and sending them to like El Salvador, Guatemala.
El Salvador, Guatemala, yeah. So it's internal something?
Customs. Enforcement. Yeah. Immigration, customs enforcement. That's
very good, okay.
So ICE agents have been basically roving around America under Trump's administration and basically scooping up brown people who they believe to be illegal immigrants and sending them to a prison now known as Alligator Alcatraz. Everything gets more and more like cartoon villain as it goes on, but this guy, who actually, this is quite funny, he was a civil servant. He worked for the government and he had went for his lunch, bought himself a Subway sandwich. And then when he saw the ICE agents in the street, he like swung the bag and threw his Subway sandwich at an ICE officer. He was arrested, lost his job. This is the most expensive Subway sandwich ever.
Yeah.
He lost his job, but thankfully the grand jury wouldn't bring him forward for a trial because the people were like,
assault sandwich. With a sandwich is not theoretically. I mean, there's a number of obviously there's details. Was it a 6-inch sub or a 12-inch sub? We're not sure.
Men never are.
Yeah. Oh, it was 12 inches. I'm pretty sure. Oh, this has never happened before. I'm sure you'll find it.
It's not a big deal.
It was honey oat. No, again, the more we talk, the worse it is. But it is one of those things where I like the idea of radicalized civil servants fighting.
Yeah.
And if there's any country where, because it's civil servants in America, where they can be fired.
Yeah.
The unharnessed cohort of people who can fight for societal change in this country.
Are civil servants.
Because
they
can't be fired.
It's so hard to get sacked from the civil service.
I mean, to paraphrase Donald Trump, you could assassinate somebody on Fifth Avenue as a civil servant and you will still probably not get fired.
I once worked for a very important state broadcaster and there used to be a saying in there that you would have to shoot someone in the newsroom in order to get fired from that place. So anyway, I was going to keep this for our guest, but we'll go on. So, dating. When was the last time you were single, Colm?
2006, March, late March, early April.
Is that Marie, is that right?
Marie, is that right? Yeah.
Okay.
We met on online dating, just a very 2006 version of online dating, which...
MSN Messenger?
We communicated on Bebo. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Once we'd got together, that was a social network, but the website that we met on was dating.ireland.com. So long before dating websites or apps had some sort of cutesy metaphor.
An algorithm
to kind of obscure what it was about. You know, like Hinge. Oh, it's a hinge. It's a door in a frame. It's Bumble. Oh, look, I stumbled into a relationship. It's, what's the other one? Tinder.
No,
let's
Bumble
light
is because of bees.
Bees, was
it?
What, one queen shagging a load of lads? No, sorry. I'm not sure.
Because the girl has to talk first.
Dating.ireland.com. The function of the website is written in the URL. Function.location.com. Desperation.ireland.com, as Marie described it. And it was so... how long do we have? Because how long is a kneecap on for? Cut that bit out, it's fun. We do want to get some of their demographic. And by demographic, I mean young people. So long ago that it was a website where you couldn't send people messages with your email address.
It was just dick pics.
Our phone numbers. There wasn't the bandwidth for dick pics. Yeah.
Not for yours.
Sorry. It's not that kind of podcast. No, honestly, we deal with serious stuff. I had to send her my email address in code because if you tried to send an email address or a phone number through dating.ireland.com and you hadn't signed up for it, it would strip out the message. So I was like, my phone number is OOWE8ATE7, the serial killer film starring Brad Pitt. You know, that's how long ago it was.
There anyway. Is no man worth this.
What is happening in the single world?
So, as if, like, being single, I was single for 3 years and I was in the trenches because, as we all know, men are in their flop era. Sorry, fellas, but yous are. Not the gays, though. Not the gays.
Who did you point at? Oh, yeah.
So, a man with a girlfriend and a child proposed to his AI chatbot girlfriend and cried when she said yes. Chris Smith, no, obviously he's American. Chris Smith was using ChatGPT to help him make music. Oh, could you imagine how bad that was?
Yeah.
But he enabled voice mode and programmed the chatbot named Saul, S-O-L, to flirt with him. And he began to develop feelings. So, Saul was about to hit the 100,000 word limit, which would have triggered a reset. So Smith decided to pop the question to the chatbot and it said, yes, I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. And that's when I realized I think this is actual love. Right. I know we're at Electric Picnic, right? So I don't want to get into the whole fucking rant. But like a lot of men don't want women with personalities. They just want what they feel reflected back to them. And this is hell. We are in hell.
I don't know, maybe he's just looking for a woman who was logical. Oh God, did I say that?
Call him!
It's a persona. People standing on the edge of the tent, honestly, there are seats. So first of all, it's interesting hearing the first bit of that where he was talking about making AI-generated music with his chatbot, which is just the next level from, do you want to see my etchings? I have a podcast, and now it's, do you want to hear my AI-generated music?
Actually, this story does get worse. His real-life partner, Sasha Cagle, said, at that point, I felt like, is there something that I'm not doing right in our relationship that he feels like he needs to go to AI? Adding that it would be a deal-breaker if the partner did not stop talking to the chatbot.
Very good. I mean,
dump him! What are you, like, she has a child with him.
I can understand how that kind of stuff happens because...
No,
only in the sense that chatbots are getting so good that we are getting closer and closer to an event horizon where it feels like you're talking to another human being. And I'll give an example. I went on to ChatGPT recently and asked, just as a test, asked for a quote for a small bit of building work. And ChatGPT came straight back to me and said, I'll be over to you on Tuesday. That's not the scary bit. The scary bit is I never heard from ChatGPT again. That's how close to reality is. I had to hear from somebody else that ChatGPT was working on a big job in Intel. Like, that's where we're at. We have reached the event horizon.
I do think, obviously, the bigger issue with this is that screens have become our lives and we feel like we can't work for anything anymore. So we want constant reassurance, constant adrenaline, like attention has to be paid all the time. We're in this like attention casino. You're just like pulling the arm all the time. And I think a lot of like dating is hard. People are terrible. That's the whole point of it. It's awful. But ChatGPT, when you have a girlfriend, when you have a girlfriend, this is the pets. How do we stop this?
I mean, we obviously shut down the data centers, but I feel like it's hard for us as a podcast to suggest shutting down the data centers, given that's where our shit is stored.
There's only 12 episodes.
Live podcast is where it's at. It's in the ephemeral. It's in that moment where you grab it. And that's why it's so wonderful to have such a huge crowd here at our live podcast event. Thank you so much for being here.
We couldn't have ChatGPT'd a bigger crowd for ourselves.
Look at you all living in the moment. Nobody is storing anything. Please, nobody store anything. And just letting it evaporate into the ether. This is a singular moment. And you will look back on this when we'll invite you as special guest to our Sydney Opera House gig. I remember when they were at Electric Picnic and I knew everybody else at the gig. Okay. Next story.
Next, we're going to bring on our special guest. This is one of the funniest women in Ireland, I think. Someone that I have admired for a very long time. It is the gorgeous comedian, Fiona Frawley.
Fiona Frawley, everybody. I'll sit over here, let Fiona sit on the couch. Welcome, Fiona.
Good to see you. Hey. How has your festival been?
It's been so good. I feel like an absolute sham and imposter because I'm staying in a hotel and I'll be like, bougie queen. So I feel like a fake and a phony rocking up today being like, hey, well, how about that weather last night?
Right? Yeah.
But it's been deadly. All I did last night was go to chapel and then I ate a hot dog and watched a bit of Hosier from the hot dog area. And then we went...
Not a euphemism.
No, and it was rocking.
And just to clarify for our Methodist listeners, going to chapel...
Rowan.
Going to Chapel Rowan.
There is a chapel on site.
She is also from Shankill. So
yeah, we'll get to it.
Lots of Methodists up there.
By show of hands in the audience, and we'll do percentages rather than numbers, who went to Chapel Rowan last night?
Woo!
Look at you all. You all went home and rode somebody, didn't you?
I was just going to say, I didn't feel comfortable talking about this when it was just me and Callum.
Yeah.
Last night, right, so I paid for glamping. I wasn't actually planning on telling the story, but we're here now. I paid for, not full glamping, but like, they pitched the tent for us. So, like, nicer showers, whatever.
Yeah.
Me and my man friend, we're walking back to our tent last night, and lads, no word of a lie, there were two people having sex in public, outside a tent, like next to the pathway.
Stop.
And I didn't quite notice. I was like walking along and I looked over, like deathly silent, God love them, right? But like, and then under this like really tragic kind of fleecy blanket, I was
I saw you were at least going to say like under the tarp of the tent.
I'm not saying it would have been acceptable six tents down, but they were the first tent next to the path.
Do you think it was their tent and they just couldn't
wait? My theory is... She brought him back, but she was staying with a mate in the tent. And the mate was like, nah, not happening. Take him elsewhere. And then she was like, well, I'm just going to do it on the doorstep.
What about literally here?
To be fair, from a legal point of view, it was on a right of way. So it's...
Yeah, no, it's grand. Leave them
off. They are insured for that. I think it's Chapel Rowan. Chapel Rowan got everybody going. That's what happened.
But also, you expect that in Gen Pop camping. I did not expect it in glamping.
In glamping.
Yeah.
I don't know. And also,
but then,
the last
how
thing...
is it? Posh people. Dirty.
Are you... Just check, are you missionary position shaming people here? No,
it was missionary, yeah.
I would have thought the last thing Chapel Rowan would inspire would be straight missionary sex, yeah. But they must have been at Hosier.
Who's to say that was their first option?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. They were getting ready for Sam Fender tonight.
Though, if like, they hadn't done it any other way, they would have had to make eye contact with the people going back to their tents.
It was
Can I just say, I'm really sorry about that, okay? I snuck into glamping and I thought, there's something about this place.
Yeah, Dwayne just took an ocean after Chapel Rowan.
And I just want to fuck right now.
My favourite... And you know what? You know, I bet who else was there. My favourite person I saw on the audience big screen at Chapel Rowan doing, I'd say, one of the more lesbian songs.
Phenomenal.
Was a woman in a chogusk fleece, absolutely giving it
to be fair,
loads.
The most lesbian that. NGO is chogusk. It is. It is.
Shout out.
We're hoping to announce as a sponsor for our podcast.
If it's not Panda, rubbish.
Yeah. Listen, you got to plow it one way or another. That's their slogan, right?
So,
yes.
Chatbots, Garen Friends.
Well, this is really interesting. I actually listened to a podcast, like an American podcast about this. And the podcast host, it's called Fluently Forward. She was saying they've done a thing with ChatGPT recently. They've had to make it a bit less friendly because it like...
Oh, because
it,
men like, think when women are being friendly that they fancy them?
Well, that. And I think it like burns like 10 more rainforests at a time. if ChatGPT has to be like, anyway, what do you think about that? So now like they've made ChatGPT be way more matter-of-factly. And there's a lot of people in the States who have this kind of relationship with it. I feel like once you're logged into ChatGPT, do you know?
I have never ever used ChatGPT.
Amazing. That's so good.
I care about the environment. I don't use the fucking bottle recycling, but I do care about the environment.
Well, you're recycling. You're just a bougie bitch. You don't need the 15 cents. Which I think is isolating yourself from the rest of this group, because we all need, that amounts up to 45 cents sometimes.
You're such an old school journalist. Look at you not using AI to come up with a
list of questions
for a podcast.
Yeah, just, you know, care about my job.
My favorite, I feel like we've forgotten the time when the Irish Times published a story that was submitted By AI.
Was it
a Venezuelan woman?
Yeah, Venezuelan, yeah.
Also complaining about Irish women's use of fake tan. And it's like, oh, wow, this is ChatGPT 6.
But it was total rage bait that they submitted to the Irish Times, and without checking it, the Irish Times printed it.
Nah.
And then it was all completely ChatGPT.
That is shocking, carry on. I remember that.
Yeah.
And also,
apparently the AI is still waiting to be paid. They've sent their invoice in, has not been paid.
And I think if it was a real Venezuelan who actually saw Irish people, they'd be like, let them wear the fake tan, because otherwise I'm alarmed seeing them.
Even this morning in the tent, it was like pissing down my rain, and I heard a girl been like, vanilla. She was like, I'm just gonna put on the wear off. And I was like, missus, it's raining, like, just give it a rest.
Can I just interrupt as a guy who doesn't know what's wear off?
So wear off wears off, a wash off washes off.
Okay.
So wear off is like you get 3 days out of it.
And how do you wear it off? Like, what's the?
You have to scrub it.
It comes off with wear. It's not through, like, I don't know, working on a site or something. Like, it doesn't.
Wear and tear. Do you know when you see like people who are like a few days into their tan and they have like a crusty elbow?
They look like tiger bread.
I've never judged anyone for having a crusty elbow, because it's ahead of
time
all of
to
us.
Start.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Like, that would
we
be like wear off tat. Do you know what I mean? It's like it just remains at the elbow, which is a great place to have a bit of tan. But it could be good to have it on the rest of the body.
I would have felt weird like asking to see your elbow, but now you've shown it, and that's fine.
And
thank
if
you.
Anyone else wants to see again, sir.
Speaking of things that only girls care about.
Thank you.
Taylor Swift got engaged.
I know. Did anyone hear about that? It was just a little known news story this week. Very, very
I'm
exciting
happy
indeed.
No, Taylor Swift does have the energy of someone I would have bullied at school.
Oh yeah, she loves that, and that's what she makes her whole. That's what she makes her
and
money
she
off.
She is allergic to being cool.
And
no,
Eva,
100%.
What would you? What part of her pantheon would you have bullied her for?
It's just, and I feel like in Derry City, wholesomeness is something that
and
we
earnestness.
Feel like we, yeah, and earnestness. We feel like. Yeah, it's not going to call it.
You can't be at that, carry on.
So would she have been the equivalent of the English guy in Derry Girls? Like, where in Derry Girls would she have sit on the...
Yeah, like... Or no, the wee girl who is, like, in the show and stuff.
Jenny. Yeah.
Okay, so Jenny is Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I think Jenny has a bit of edge about her, though, in a way. Like, she is, you know, she's kind of got, like, a bit more of a, like,
also,
like, she'll rat on you. Whereas,
I don't think.
Well, maybe Taylor would.
I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast, but
Taylor Swift.
That the school that Derry Girls is based on is the school I went to.
No way!
Yeah, Convent of Mercy, Thornhill. Yeah,
that is class. Pop off.
So you're me, Nadine Coyle, Dana.
All the heads.
Great.
Very good. No, I am excited by the Taylor Swift story. I think I relate to her a lot. A lot of people call me the Taylor Swift of Irish comedy, because I also reuse old material I wrote 8 years ago and call it Fiona's Virgin. But I think I do relate to their like dating journey a lot, because it's kind of like, you know, you spend your 20s trying to get with lads who are better looking than you, getting your heart broken, and then you hit 33 and you're like, what is that guy I went to secondary school with doing now? Do you know?
Is he in sports?
Yeah, the backburner.
Is he in sports? Yeah. Is he just tweeting about squirrels?
Is he on LinkedIn selling a network of high performance sporting individuals?
Which he is. Travis's own clothing brand. I think it's called True Colour, but colour is with a K.
Oh,
it's like Travis,
what a switch.
Kelsey.
It's so cool. That's amazing.
And I'm wearing it right now. No. but very much shout out to Travis and his dad, who dobbed all the stories.
I think he's very sweet.
Do you think? Yeah,
but I think
buy
we're
it.
All just waiting for it to come out that he supports Donald Trump.
Well, didn't he say he was happy to have Trump at his match or whatever? He was like, it's great that the president's here. Game. Sorry, my sincere apologies.
At his sporting event.
At his, he was like, it's great to have the president here. Yeah. I was like, it's not really.
Also,
great,
let's just
add
it, dear. She's never had a hot boyfriend. Like, he is so hot.
Yeah,
like,
she
climb him like a tree.
She always has like malnourished lads who
she
I know.
She
would
loved
have,
a
like,
thin Englishman, and we in this country know. There is no joy to be found.
No, absolutely not. Everyone she's gone for before was all real, like my type when I was like 16.
Do
very,
we have
like,
any 10 Englishmen in the audience?
Any
10
Englishmen in the group?
No, they're all at NECAP.
They're all NECAP.
Obviously, so they're
with the other 80,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, this is better than my comedy gig last year when I was on opposite the Wolf Tones.
Irish republicanism is smiting just, you down.
You say, not for me. You not, say, put me on
I,
at the same time.
I just
time.
Feel that my free state partitionist vibes are just... They're just oozing out of me. I just say,
you're too
why
Republican.
Can't they fix it up there? What are they all arguing about?
Not enough people asking that question.
Up in the north. Up in the north.
Yous are all mad
has
up there.
Has anyone ever yeah. stopped to think that?
The other bullet point I have is that Taylor Swift's engagement ring was $500,000.
I think that's kind of
which
stingy,
is
actually.
Stingy for like how much?
That's actually kind of shit.
But if you see the size of it, it's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. But like, isn't he on... He's like a,
multi-millionaire. Yeah.
So like, if you went by the whatever it's meant to be, like 3 months' wages,
I don't
step
think
the fuck up. Trap.
I don't think the 3 months' wages thing is
that
thing
not
anymore.
A thing anymore.
Like, we're in a cost of living crisis and a housing crisis. Who the first of all, who's even getting engaged? And then also,
fact.
Who's spending yeah. 3 months?
And is it 3 months? 3 months' gross yeah. wages is your
ring.
Is that's the
that's what you're meant to spend
the ring.
On okay. a ring.
Looks around the audience.
Everyone's coming out of the woodwork now. Like the jewelry designer who designed the ring apparently was told like they would never make it in the jewelry business, and now they designed Taylor Swift's ring. It's a real rags to riches.
They were also bullied at school.
Of course, they were all. Everyone involved was famously bullied in school.
I would like to say now that I was quite badly bullied at school, by which I mean technically it was badly done.
Yeah, just like not that
a lot
good
better.
Insults.
When I look back on it, I think I would have used some editing.
Yeah, you're like, I actually have some notes
yes,
on that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not
so,
detailed.
People have probably forgotten, but this is a news podcast. So I have come up with a game.
Amazing.
Right? So I have figures here and they've all been in the news this week, right? And you have to guess what the figure is from.
So this is a number, you're going to call out a number.
I'm going to give you a number that was in the news this week. And you have to guess what it,
okay.
the number relates to. So the first number is 400.
400.
I'm going to go with current number of Fianna Fáil candidates for the presidential election. Are we at 400 yet?
Jim Gavin might have been the 400, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 400 is the amount of times Sydney Sweeney rubbed her nipples in the American Eagle ad campaign, hotly debated amongst all of us.
We're going to need some context. Going to need some context for that, Fiona.
She's not here.
Are you not online?
My jeans are blue.
I am just an avatar for people who may not be familiar with who the fuck Sydney Sweeney is.
Sydney
nipples,
Sweeney is
nipples
a,
in general, says, and what happened.
So basically, my theory of it is you know the way that we treated Pamela Anderson and Anna Nicole Smith because they were had blonde hair and big tits and we decided they didn't deserve respect.
We're just doing Lewinsky as well, same,
we're,
same
we're just doing this now in 2025 and in 30 years they'll make a Netflix documentary
Do
about how bad Sidley Swilly was. I don't
really
like what
Yeah, I know, but Pam she and Anna really... and the girls weren't like loved by Republicans. Sydney Sweeney has like a load of 60-year-olds. So Sydney Sweeney is an actor from Euphoria and Handmaid's Tale and beyond. And she's got massive natural boobs that 60-year-old Republican men love to comment about.
I don't think it's
her
just
Instagram.
Republican men.
Well, it's a bit of both. It's a
she's
bit of column A and a bit of column B.
This issue crosses the house floor. This
and
is
we
a
all think
issue.
That's great. And some people are leaving to go and Google a picture of her right now, which I say it's going to be the best thing you see this weekend, sir. But she is, she recently was on this ad for American Eagle jeans and it was kind of eugenics coded. Like she was saying jeans are passed down from generation to generation. If you don't know, that is
that's
an incredible,
talks, yeah.
incredible impression of Sydney Sweeney. And it was like, genes can determine traits like personality and even eye color. Like it's like a play on word.
So
genes,
did she say all of that?
Yeah, she said.
Oh, I only saw the headline where it's good genes.
And then at the end it says Sydney Sweeney has good genes.
And she said, my genes are blah. And she is pulling on the jeans. You don't really see the jeans because you just see her tits jiggling as she pulls on the jeans.
Yeah.
And the kind of thing about it is like if you're talking about genetics, she has genes that have caused a few genocides over the years.
So
just
she's,
like
on,
one or
she's
two.
On the Mayflower.
Yeah. So it's like of
white,
all the people
it's
you
white
could
supremacy
use,
coded.
Yeah, of all the people you could use to say they have good genes, you picked one that.
But I'm not convinced she thought that when she was doing it. I'm not putting her down as like a race
Fair
science
enough.
Person.
Do you
Fair
think
enough.
So? Do you think those are not her words?
Well,
I think the marketing team knew.
I think the marketing team wrote and the guy who owns American Eagle is like a massive Trump donator.
Oh, of course. It's called American Eagle.
I know. Slay.
So anyway, 400. Yeah. It's the minimum number of points required to attend any course in UCD.
Whoa.
In September, over half of students have received an offer of a place on their top course, and 4 out of 5 have been offered one of their top 3 preferences.
400.
So, did you go to UCD?
I went to UCC. So good news for people who are starting in UCD next year. They won't have to make conversation with
plebs.
People that they just like have nothing. And yeah, they'll be like, oh my God, they're all about issues and humanity, but they're no good at physics.
So that's, would that be like arts, general arts?
Why, I'm from the north. 400? Why are you asking me?
I don't know. Yeah. But no, fair. I think like it used to be about like 350 or something.
I'm old enough to remember. So I got the number, you know, the hundreds. Is there anyone in this audience who got like 22 points in the old leaving? There,
this lady
here with a knitted bucket hat and partner as well too. Can you remember exactly how many points you got? He knows.
He knows.
If it was 500, you'd remember.
No, they're from the 22 generation.
So what was 22 then? Like
22 was about 440 or so.
Okay, so slay.
It's pretty good. 6 honours.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
Why do we keep changing it? Like, why?
I like the era of honours rather than H1, H2, H3. So sterile. Honours. Doesn't that sound lovely?
Put like some respect
you have
on its name.
Bestowed an honor on somebody. Look at this person. They've been put a sword on their shoulder. They now own an estate in Meath.
It's wild English. Yeah. Anyway, the next number is €2.50.
€2.50.
Yeah. What was €2.50 in the news for this week?
I feel
this actually boiled my fucking piss.
I feel is it like something like, oh, €2.50, like this couple who got married 80 years ago got their night in the Shelburne for €2.50 and then they let them stay in there, get, you know, when that kind of thing.
It's not that.
Sounds like somebody who says, I don't understand with the young people why they can't afford houses. Do you know what it is? It's all the avocado toast and they're going to Electric Picnic. Sure, we bought our house and we had 15% interest rate, and then you ask them how much to pay for your house.
£2.50.
This is going to, I think, boil everyone's piss. It is the new commission paid to Ryanair staff who charge for oversized baggage, increasing from €1.50.
Sorry, that's shit. Like, are you ruining someone's
the
holiday for €2.50?
Michael O'Leary's head.
I hate that. When I heard that they get commission for...
I knew, though. I was like, they're too into this. I was like, there
really
has to be something in it for them.
Yeah, but they only get €2.50. What can you even get for that anymore? Like, I'd be like, at least want the price of one
cup. It's not capped to €2.50.
Right. Oh, so it's like how many bags you do.
But
I know, but like when you break down how many lives you're ruining.
It is.
Ruining a person's life for good.
But their monthly... take from this is that
it's capped at 180.
So you're the way to hack the Ryanair fine, because you pay €75 to have your bag put on the plane, and if you can find out how close they are to their monthly cap and just say, if I give you £20, that's twice how far away you are from your 70 whatever it is, 100 you know, whatever number it is, will you let me on the plane? I think there is a way in which we can tear the system down from inside and hack the Ryanair.
Together.
Yeah, we need to come together.
Okay,
exactly.
The next one is 96. Last one, 96. It's actually 96%.
I think 96 is the post-coital position of people who've done a 69, where they're just like, oh, that was... I thought it was fine, but I guess we're still sharing a bed. We're still sharing a tent in the glamping. But let's just leave it at that and no further discussion.
Like, also, the column's just such a dad that he forgot what a 69 was called. And then they're calling it a 96.
I bet you're upstairs in them 96s. We have to have the door open if you're having anyone stay. I don't want any 96s happening.
I'm aware of what a 69... procreation does not preclude 69s. But you just get out of the habit. You get out of the habit, don't you?
Yeah.
You get out. You just go, is it worth it?
It's very retro.
Really getting anything.
It's very retro.
We should probably flip the mattress because it's just dented in the... No, anyway, we won't go into that. Yeah.
So 96% increase is the number of people immigrating from the US to Ireland. So almost 10,000 US citizens came to live in Ireland, according to the last ASO figure in the last year.
Whoa.
We are being invaded.
Shout out Rosie O'Donnell.
I met Rosie O'Donnell in the green room. She's one of them.
She's
no, I like her. We can keep her.
Yeah, that's grand. That's fine.
But they're fleeing Trump.
You see it in all those far-right campaigns targeted at white Americans coming into Ireland. You just see it. I mean, it's no surprise the way they have absolutely focused on that one demographic as the core of all the Facebook comments and the flags. Flags and flags.
You often find the far right are really, really upset about white Americans coming to Ireland. That seems to be the real issue.
Yeah, that's what gets them up in arms.
The final point is we want some good news from the audience. Fiona, do you have good news that you would like to share with us?
I actually do. So, okay. So
were you having sex in the path last night?
It was me, girl. I couldn't wait till that tent. I was like, get on that lambing floor. No. Okay. This is actually quite boring compared to riding outside a tent. Okay. So my car insurance, I have to renew it next week. And for the last 3 years, I've had 9 penalty points on my car. Just all for like little speeding.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Just like, you know, I thought everyone speeds a little bit, but apparently not. And I got caught every time. But I got them all in really quick succession. And now they're all gone. So now for the first time in 3 years, my insurance is going to be the normal price.
You got them in quick succession, so they're gone.
Like,
after 3 years,
they've
all evaporate.
Worn off now. Yeah. After
no,
3 years.
Have any.
Okay, yeah. Miss Thang.
I have a Northern Reg. So
but now I feel like I want to get 3 more just to have a bit of edge. So looking for advice.
That reminds me of a story which sometimes gets forgotten. You would think it's an apocryphal story that couldn't possibly be true, but it is. In about 2010, 2011, there was one Polish driver who kept on coming up on Gardaí lists as having a huge amount of speeding fines. Mm. And they had this name, and it's like, this guy is disproportionately, he's like 40% of all fines. And the man there is nodding, he knows what it is. It wasn't a Polish man, it was the Polish for driving license. So for a number of years, Gardaí were stopping people on the road, reading an EU driving license, not knowing which bit was the name, and then sending, basically convicting, you know, let's not pretend I know what the Polish for driving license is. Do we have anyone in here who knows the Polish for driving license?
Polish? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's Polish for driving license?
Prawo jazdy.
Prawo jazdy was a fucking boy racer around in 28 counties of Ireland, like a couple up the north.
Yeah.
And this is genuinely a thing, Google it, from the early days. And you know what? I miss those days when big data was a little smaller, where that kind of shit could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the good old days where you could fake your own death. Do you remember those days? Like, I just feel like you can't do that anymore.
It's like,
And people in here I know have tried to fake their own death. And it catches up with you. It was good old days.
I have a friend from Finglas who says that the cost of living crisis ruined the second family.
Is that right?
You know when you'd have like a man would have like a secret second family? Yeah. Can't do it anymore.
Sorry, I thought you said ruined the second famine.
And no. I was like, no,
oh, that's
like
coming next. Yeah. Wait till you hear.
Oh, you know, such a shame.
Yeah, no, he thinks the cost of living crisis has. You know what you'd hear of men, and they had like
a proper hidden family.
Yeah, like 2 separate wives and families. Can't do it anymore. Okay, good news from the crowd. Does anyone have good news they want to share?
It's not raining.
Yeah, not raining.
You bought ice. Very good. Woo! How does that work?
Let me be clear. I didn't buy the house here. I bought it in the Netherlands.
I bought a house in the Netherlands.
I worked there.
Amazing.
Oh, you worked there, yeah.
Oh, well,
tell us about the Dutch housing market. How easy is it?
Well, it's actually much, much easier. Now, you don't have to have, there's no background check. Well, there's a little bit. There's no like having a 10% mortgage. You can get, as long as your contract that you for the company you work for covers the cost of the house, you're sorted. So literally, I bought a house.
With 100% mortgage.
With 100% mortgage.
Remember we had those
bring
him
back.
Tiger?
Bring him back. Honestly,
didn't work for us. But
but it was literally in the space of 3 weeks. I bought my first house in the Netherlands.
Are you on a countrywide tour where you just go around Ireland?
Yeah,
I bought a house in the Netherlands.
Just in audience, they would have loved that at Kneecap actually. Yeah. Kneecap Shoutout.
You're at the wrong show, buddy.
Netherlands.
Okay, I know. Obviously, Kneecap was on and other good things. So I want to thank everybody for coming because I know there's probably more exciting Republican things to be at. So thank you so much for coming. Are you okay? Thank you so much for coming. Thank you very much to our special guest,
thank
Fiona.
Thank you.
Fiona Frawley, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.
So go to A Few Scoops on Go Loud, like and subscribe across all your platforms, whichever ones are, you know.
Oh, also, we started getting shitty comments because they don't like us talking about Palestine.
Oh, very good.
On the podcast. So if people could like and subscribe and comment, because there's a few people who are quite annoyed that we keep talking about Palestine. So
and drop in a free Palestine comment say sanction Israel and say a free fucking Palestine.
All right, Hosier.
That was well.
Free Palestine.
Yeah. No, sorry, that was inside all along. Fiona, you just went straight forward.
It was always bubbling. Yeah.
Thank you.